I would preach tonight if he needed me to, but I'm not going to preach. We're going to have a lesson tonight. When you call them sermons, I get nervous, but if I say we're going to have a study tonight, I'm just fine. I can do that. And so tonight, we're going to study the book in the story, I should say, of Hezekiah in Kings, 2 Kings, chapter 18. And you keep that open because we're going to be reading a lot of verses in that area, and we'll make some comments along that on those verses as we go through. I've always sort of, if I could phrase it that way, I've always sort of admired Hezekiah. But Hezekiah wasn't perfect. And so we're going to take a look at some of the good things about Hezekiah and maybe some of the things he wasn't so good about. Before we get into that book of Hezekiah, I'd like to kind of do a summary of the history leading up to Hezekiah. You know, back at the time of when Solomon's son became king, and he put the taxes on the people, and the 10 northern tribes split off, and Judah and Benjamin, they split off and went south. Well, from that time on, the history between Judah and Israel was, I don't know, it'd go one way or the other. When David was king, you know, of course, there was wars between Israel and David. And then at times there was wars between, when it was called back and became Judah, or called Judah, there was wars between Israel and Judah. And then at certain points there would be a friendship between them, like King Ahab and some of the other kings. And then they would intermarry, and things were just, you know, back and forth. Well, at this particular period of time, here's what's happened. Nations have arose and nations have fallen. First you had Egypt. Egypt was the world power. And then Egypt began to get weaker. And then in the middle of there was the country of Syria. They became strong at one time. And then, later on, the nation of Assyria. Now, don't get the two confused. There's Syria, this little place. And then later on, the big, strong Assyria. And Assyria became more powerful than Egypt. And you'll get some references in here about that. And so, at this particular period of time, Assyria is the world power. Assyria comes down, and over a period of time, they conquer and take away the 10 northern tribes. And we're going to discuss that in our reading tonight. And that is taking place right here in our reading tonight. Then you've got left Judah and Benjamin. And so, with that little bit of background, we're going to begin to read in the book of Hezekiah in chapter 18 in verse 1. And we'll read the first 8 verses, and then we'll take a look at those. It says, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elath, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that David his father, not his real father, just told us Ahaz is his father, but his ancestor David. He removed the high places, broke the pillars, and cut down the Asherah. He broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the people Israel had made offerings to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord, he did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. Whenever he went out, he prospered. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. He struck down the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from watchtower to fortified city. Okay, boy, good job, Hezekiah. Boy, you come in there and you're a young man, you go to your nation. His father, Ahaz, was a bad, bad king. Ahaz, he went over to the Assyrians and kind of made friends with them and got them to come down and help him in war, the Assyrians. And he went up there and he saw this beautiful altar. Well, I'm not going to go into that. And he mixed in. He tore stuff out of the temple. He put in idol worship. And he just was a mess. Why was Ahaz a good king? Can you believe that with a father like that? Well, you got some choices. Maybe he had a good mother. Maybe he was counseled by some of the priest or raised by the priest. But anyway, such an odd circumstances that you would have a really, really good son to become king, destroy all the idol worship, take all the idol worship out of Judah, and restore things just like it was supposed to be. So we're on that particular point, we're going to put a check mark by Hezekiah's name, say good job. But you know, like all people, all Christians, sometimes they're not perfect, are they? Some mess up sometimes. We're going to take a look and read some more. And we're going to kind of summarize after we read those. Okay, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elath, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came down against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, he took it. And in the sixth year of Hezekiah, which was in the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. The king of Assyria carried the Israelites away to Assyria and put them in Halath, on the Habor River of Gozan, and the cities of the Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant. Even all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, they neither listened nor obeyed. Now, at verse 12, don't get confused about that. It sounds like it said, the king of Assyria came down and he carried off the people into captivity because they didn't obey the Lord. Now, that's just not exactly the way we want to look at that. Look, the Lord allowed them to be carried off by the king of Assyria into captivity because they had forsaken. Well, that's just what we talked about a while ago when we were talking about the 10 northern tribes. The 10 northern tribes at this very point here have been captured by the Assyrians. He was very successful. He carried them off into captivity. He put foreign people in their land. And we know that story. That's where the Samaritans come from. Now, at this particular point right now, the king of Assyria, he is really bold. He says, now that I have taken all of those countries, boy, I'm just a pretty tough guy. I'm going to come down and I'm going to conquer Judah and Benjamin, or Judah, we'll call it. So in the 13th verse, we're going to take a look at something else that happens. It said, in the 14th year of Hezekiah, Caiaphas, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria in Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. You remember up there earlier in verse 7, it says, Hezekiah rebelled against the king of Assyria. Now, let me explain that just a little bit. The king of Assyria, he had come down and took the 10 northern tribes. He hadn't conquered Judah and them yet. They were just paying him tribute. And Hezekiah comes along and he says, I'm not going to do that anymore. God doesn't want me to do that, and God didn't want him to do that. Just to put it the way it was, because other times God had expressed that he was displeased because they were doing that. And so Hezekiah becomes scared. In verse 14, Hezekiah the king of Judah sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Withdraw from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria required of Hezekiah of Judah 300 talents of silver, 30 talents of gold, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorpost that Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Okay. He's rebelled against Assyria. He's become frightened. And so he says, hey, I'm going to pay this old boy off. So he takes everything. Can you tell that he's giving up everything he can get his hands on? And he's giving it to the king of Assyria. Now, if you was to venture a guess right now, old king of Assyria is going to go back and leave him alone. No. So, bad move, Hezekiah. You thought that you were going to take money and that you were going to trust in money and you were going to save Israel by giving money to an evil man. Okay, bad move. Let's put a check mark there and say, bad move, Hezekiah. That's not going to work. Now, up in verse 16. No, we got to verse 7. 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan. Now, it sounds like 30 minutes later, and I have a feeling that there was a period of time between Hezekiah gave him the money, and then maybe it was a month, maybe it was 2 months, maybe it was a year. But then he turns right around and sends one of his officials back down to Judah. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan, the Rabsarish and the Rabashik, and he gave with a great army from Lachish to the king Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they arrived, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is on a highway to Washer Field. And when they called for the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and Jonah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. I'm having a hard time of reading because I can't think and read at the same time. See, I'm up here and I'm thinking, now what am I going to say? And so I have conflicting thoughts there. Okay, now I'm going to paraphrase some of this, and I'm going to try to shorten this down just a little bit so that we don't spend too much time reading. But this official of the Assyrian king, he comes up to him and he said, he tells him, okay, you got two choices, Hezekiah. Number one choice is you can surrender to me, Then after you surrender, you get to go back to your houses, just like nothing happened. And then a little while later, I'm going to send my armies in and take all of you as slaves and send you off into another country. He told him that. He told him right in those verses. Now, you know what his other choice was? If you don't surrender, I'm going to come in and kill all of you. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's the impression that I've got and the way that things happened in other places in the Bible. So Hezekiah's got two choices. Man, I don't like either one of them. And so Hezekiah said, I'm in trouble. What's the first thing you should do when you're in trouble? You want to pray. And so Hezekiah, as a last resort, he goes in and he prays. Now, the thing that Hezekiah has going on his side is that this king of Assyria has come down here and he has blasphemed God. He said, this little God that you got, you think he's going to save you? I have conquered all of these other nations around you. Their gods did not keep me from coming in and capturing them, and neither will your God. And I think God was sitting back and said, whoa, I think I'd better set you straight. And so Hezekiah prayed. God answered his prayer. And what happened? God comes in without the help of their army or anything, and because of confusion, God wiped out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Now that's quite a... Can you imagine 185,000 soldiers laying dead on a battlefield? Well, put a check mark. Hezekiah, good job. Boy, you did the right thing there. Well, I'm not going to take time. I'm just not going to want to go like that when I exceed my time. I've got so much material here that I would like to cover, and I'm going to cover it real fast. You could turn over to Chronicles. Chronicles tells a whole lot more about Hezekiah than you find over in the Kings. But in the book of Hezekiah, because this had happened, Hezekiah, in the eyes of all the people around the country and the nations around, they said, this Hezekiah is one bad dude. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take down and give him money. And we're going to get on his good side because his God wiped out, and we want to be on the good side of that God. And so they begin to give Hezekiah money. And at a certain point, Hezekiah gains a great, huge treasure. But under those circumstances, it says that Hezekiah became proud. Okay. Stick them thumbs under there and say, man, I am something. And when you do that, you're saying, I did all this on my own. I didn't have anybody's help. I did it all on my own. I'm not giving God credit for it. And so God, Hezekiah becomes sick. And the prophet comes down to him and said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. And Hezekiah said, well, why? I've been such a good king, and I've done all this. And he repents, and he humbles himself before God. And the prophet goes out, and he contacts God, and comes back to Hezekiah, and he says, Hezekiah, since you humbled yourself and repented, God's going to give you another 15 years. And so, here's Hezekiah. Humbles himself, and God heard him, and he gave him that 15 years. Well, good job, Hezekiah. Let's put that check mark down there. Humbled yourself, repented. You've done good. Then, after this, who is Hezekiah's son? Amasa. Ooh. Man, you talk about the worst king that Judah ever had. And he went in and he destroyed everything his father did. And if you don't have to go any farther, if you look at what Amasa did, it said Amasa offered his son in the fire to Molech. Okay, end of story. You don't have to go any farther. You don't have to describe anything else that Amasa did. Amasa did. That's as bad as it gets. So, well, how's that Hezekiah's fault? He failed to teach his son to obey God. Bad move, Hezekiah. So what I'm trying to say, here's Hezekiah. Sort of like us, I guess you would say, going along, we make mistakes, don't we? Do we ever think about money? Hezekiah thought money was his salvation. Well, we kind of trust in money every once in a while, don't we? Sometimes we get proud and we fail to give God the credit. So I think Hezekiah's sort of like me. I think he has good times and he has bad times. And if you look at all these things that Hezekiah did, all the things he accomplished, his mistakes, and all of those things all put together, we got a lot of lessons that we can learn from Hezekiah. We got a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. Which one would you rather do? Look at history and look at their mistakes and say, I'm not going to do that because this old boy didn't turn out too good? Or would you rather make your own mistakes and suffer for it? I think you can take this Old Testament right here and you can read all the things that you see in the Old Testament and we can learn from it. Don't do that. I hate to tell you, but some of these old men, when they tell you something, it's probably because they made the mistake and they're trying to say, son, don't you make that mistake. So us old men, you better listen to. So anyway, that's the story of Hezekiah. And we can learn an awful lot from Hezekiah, can't we? And so when you go home and you have some time, read that story about Hezekiah and all the things he did. Look at the good things he did. Boy, he was great at the beginning. Look at all the things that he made mistakes. Learn from his mistakes. And maybe we can be better Christians too. At this time, we're going to offer the invitation song. And if there's anyone here tonight who needs to respond to the gospel, let's stand and sing at this time.